Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion on ESPN 1000. Can't sleep? Nervous about the big game on Sunday?
Oh, he hits the upright again! That's impossible!
Sounds like a case of the Saturday Scaries. Isn't it called Sunday Scaries?
He's got a point.
No, not on Peggy and Dion.
Oh, Saturday Scaries. What makes us scared about the Bears and the Packers on the lakefront at Soldier Field tomorrow? Lots of things that make me scared about this game. I think I would start off, Tyler, by saying the offensive line still makes me scared. And the fact that Larry Borum is out, and I know, like, it's okay. Riley Reiff did leave the game injured as well. But now I believe he's one of the honorary captains.
He is, yeah.
So we know he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to start now at right tackle. Alex Leatherwood, God knows where he is and why he's unable to be a part of the rotation. But it still scares me that Justin Fields could get hurt. His escapability is amazing, but it does scare me.
It's, yeah, I mean, the offensive line, I think, I'm sure this is you could probably cut and paste from previous shows when you do the Saturday Scaries. Offensive line always going to scare you. And it's just like the lack of continuity that we've seen because of injuries and even some guys that you want to see develop. Like Alex Leatherwood is a perfect example of that. And I would love to see what can he do. And we kind of got teased earlier in the week when Eberflus said, yeah, we could see Alex Leatherwood start at right tackle. You went out and made the waiver pickup. You put a lot of money forth this year to make sure that he was on this roster. I would like to see what you have there. And I know he was set back because of mono earlier, but this is something that at this point in the season, what do you have to lose? And maybe this is going to be like an after the bye sort of deal. Like, all right, we really catch him up to speed,
right?
Throw him out there. But by that point, what if Larry Borum's healthy? Is he going to be the right tackle?
I think they've seen enough.
Yeah.
That's why Larry Borum was replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've seen enough from that. What scares you also about this game?
The fact that Aaron Rodgers is still quarterback on the other side. I mean, it tortures me. 23-5 in his career against the Bears, a 63-10 touchdown to interception ratio. He owns this team. He said it last year. I'm sure he'll say it again if they get up to a big lead. It scares me every time I see him back there. And it's funny because I have a lot of friends that are Jets fans, and they always say this about Tom Brady, and I'm like, they're like, you don't know what it's like to go against Tom Brady two times a year. I'm like, yeah, I do, because I go against a different 12,
right,
two times a year,
right.
And like, some of the worst Bears memories I have are when he knocked him out of the playoff spot on the final game of the year on the deep pass down to beat Chris Conte to Randall Cobb. Like, those are the biggest. I remember exactly where I was for that moment and just crumbling. As a result of it, he is there to rip your heart out,
right,
every single time he takes the field. He loves torturing this fan base.
Yes.
And who knows? This may be the last time he does it, too. Like, that's the looming question here. Could this be the last time we see Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Packers come to Soldier Field and stick one more dagger in the hearts of Bears fans? While it may be unlikely, it's not out of the question.
It's not out of the question because, although he may not, like, he's not going to retire.
No, I don't.
They could try to move him.
Yes.
Especially after the debacle that's going on in Denver.
Yes.
I mean, there's still a lot of that going on. What scares me also is that the Bears defense has allowed 5 straight quarterbacks to finish with a 100 or more passer rating.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a Bears defense that is without their 2 starting safeties, a starting cornerback, their backup cornerback, Elijah Hicks, and DeAndre Houston Carson.
Have fun.
My Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you almost need to put in a linebacker as your nickelback at this point because you're running out of bodies.
Yeah.
And that scares me. He is still going to be able to put up numbers.
Right. I think the other thing too, kind of the thing that maybe is going under the radar with the injuries. Like, we've been so hyper-focused on will Fields play, won't Fields play. All right, we've got our answer now, right? But I love watching Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker every single week because their development is very important. Those are Ryan Poles' first two draft picks. And I think especially Brisker has done a really nice job this year. Kyler Gordon was a rough start for him, but he's gotten better over the course of the year. Those are two very important draft picks because look on the other side. Christian Watson's a guy who's had a lot of touchdown catches. He had, I think, six over the last 3 weeks and could be primed for a few more this week against the Bears. That was a guy that was on the board for both of those picks. Bears passed on him. Is that going to be one of the things that we look back on and say, wish we got Justin, a guy like Christian Watson, get him a little help on the offensive side of the football there.
And flip it over to the other side. This is a total tryout now with Darnell Mooney out.
Yeah.
Who becomes wide receiver one? Mm-hmm. Is it Chase Claypool? Are we seeing more Byron Pringle? I think that, you know, we've seen the last, Dante Pettis was only doing returns last week. Mm-hmm. They love EQ St. Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. I think it's because he has done very well in pass protection. Mm-hmm. But this is an opportunity now for the wide receivers. Who's going to stick on this team next year? Who is?
Yeah.
We're not even mentioning N'Keal Harry.
Right. That's another.
I think that's a major, major like red flag.
The wide receiver disappearing acts this year have been extremely interesting. You brought up Harry. Claypool, he was out there for a decent amount of snaps and in big moments in his first game with the Bears. And then the next game, you barely see him. You finally see him get back and get, I think he got 67% of the snaps this past week.
Correct.
And then Velus Jones, he's there for a couple weeks. He's injured. Then he's in the lineup, and then he's inactive. So, like, the Bears wide receiver mystery on who plays and who doesn't play, very, very odd at times.
Yeah, there's a lot to watch in the game tomorrow besides the quarterbacks. So that will make it interesting. Anything else that scares you? Because I do want to jump out to one of the phones. Ken has a question. We were talking about the dry needling. Let's go to Ken in Aurora, Colorado. Hi, Ken. You're on with Peggy and Tyler. You've done dry needling?
Yes, I have.
Oh, my Lord.
I love it.
Oh!
But you have to remember, I have MS. So it makes me feel so good.
Seriously, do you feel it right away? And did you feel it right after your first session or does it have to like build up?
It builds up and my legs jump, but that's...
They twitch, right? That's what they want you to do.
Yeah, with my MS, because, you know, I'm in a wheelchair, so my legs are worse. But it feels so good. But I honestly, it's a good pain. It's a really good pain. And I've done the cupping. The cupping is phenomenal on my lower back.
Really? Does it hurt? Does cupping hurt at all?
I don't think so. As long as they do it right, no. And I've also done acupuncture. You name it, I do all Eastern medicine as much as I can.
Really? Now, I've done acupuncture, and I thought that it was, I didn't feel like it really did anything for me. And I unfortunately went into my dry needling session yesterday thinking it was going to be more like acupuncture. And there was nothing zen about it.
How many times did you get your acupuncture?
Twice.
Okay. Because the doctors that I talk to that do it, they say that you should do it at least 4 or 5 times for you to feel a difference.
Oh, huh.
Yeah, because the first time, it pulls all your negative energy out of you, and most people are exhausted. Literally, it pulls so much out of you, you're exhausted. When my wife had it, her face went numb.
What?
With acupuncture, it works different with everybody, is what I was told. Me, I think I slept for about 12 hours.
Holy cow. Because
it pulls so much negative energy out of you that you're exhausted. One lady raged on her husband. Her husband called the doctor. He said, that's normal. He said this. He said it with acupuncture. You don't know what's going to happen after your first session. You have to have 4 or 5 sessions within a month, month and a half. You know, you can't wait 3 months between each session.
Right. So let me ask you, Ken, let me ask you back to the dry needling. You do it on your legs. How many times a week do you do it?
I haven't had it in a couple of years because the lady at my physical therapist's office isn't there anymore.
Oh, that does that.
Yeah. And now that you brought it up, when I go next week, I'm going to ask them if they know if they have anyone that does it.
I bet they do because that's all I'm hearing about now is the dry needling and how great it is about being able to relieve any of your recovery for injuries. So, wow. Oh, my gosh.
I would not
call it good pain, though. They are a bit of a masochist, Ken.
Well, but it's a good pain because I feel when I get up from the table, like I can almost walk again.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the beauty of non-Western medication.
Yeah.
They do things that they've been doing for centuries that makes you feel better.
That's amazing.
I understand what you're saying because, it's painful.
Oh, yeah.
But just like when you work out, does that pain feel good?
Yes, and I agree with that. It's like when someone else rolls you out with the roller and they hit those spots that make you want to jump off the, like, that's repeated dry needling to me, where they constantly keep hitting those spots and you're just going to just fly off the table. That's how I felt.
I understand. My wife hates the dry needling.
Oh,
but I swear by that. Acupuncture, cupping. Every time I go for acupuncture, they cut my lower back, and my lower back feels great.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
I suggest that for everyone at my work.
Awesome.
Because, yes. So,
Ken, thank you. It's always good to hear from you. We appreciate you calling in. We appreciate that. Have a wonderful holiday, okay?
You as well. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you. We got to take a break here. When we come back, though, I know Nathan also wants to talk about Eastern medicine and acupuncture with recovery from injury as we talk about Justin Fields and Aaron Rodgers and these athletes and how they're able to actually recover 2 weeks after separating his shoulder. It's really remarkable. We'll have more of that coming up on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion on 100.3 HD2, the ESPN Chicago app and ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to Peggy and Dion. Tyler Rocky sitting in for Dion Miller today. And we also have a special treat with us. We are now joined by, with the Green Bay Packers in town, Aaron Rodgers in town. So who else is in town? That means Blue of Earth is with us here today as well. Blue, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So is Aaron going to torture us Bears fans once again today?
Aaron is my moon love. It's his birthday. The stars are aligned for him to be a soldier at the field in Chicago.
What, do you have anything special planned for his birthday today?
I smell the grass as it grazes. I see the icicles forming beneath his cleats. And I think of him. The broken branches on the trees are like his broken limbs, but he too will find new life.
So Aaron's coming into this one a little banged up. What kind of potions are we working with to try to heal him for this game?
Aaron is his own shaman. He connects with his own magical self. Close your eyes, Tyler. Close them.
Eyes are closed.
See him. In Chicago, he's not scared. Bears suck. He will light some ayahuasca and find true love.
I thought you were his true love.
No. I am simply a partner in the sky under the stars, across the meadows. We are mind friends. We are mind love. We are rich in that love.
What is a mind friend? What does that mean, Blue? Oh no, did we lose Blue? Did we lose Blue?
I was crying. I'm like, wait a second. I broke character. Hang on.
All right, we got Blue back. Blue, yeah. We've reestablished connection.
Yes. I am one with the land. I am one with the earth. I am one with the sea. And Aaron will be one with the lake in Chicago on Sunday. I am Blue of Earth. Tyler, you should join us.
I think I'm all right. So I'm looking here. I saw Blue for your 32nd birthday. You spent it with a circle of suburban moms who have seen the shaman lights on the beach while letting the peach breathe a little bit and chanting in a circle. So what are we thinking? Are we going to the North Shore? Are we going out west? Are we going south? Where are we going here?
Glen Ellen. And then Hinsdale. Those women need help. They like to smoke the ayahuasca in Hinsdale. Mm-hmm. But they still need help. I am here for everyone. I don't wear green and gold. If you watch my Instagram, I don't wear a lot of anything.
Okay, stop.
Well done, Blue. Good to have Blue back on the show
that
here.
That is so nice that she joined us again. Boy, the first time, week two, when the Bears were playing the Packers, that was crazy. That we discovered his new girlfriend, Blue of Earth. That was the weird week with Justin Fields when they asked him, you know, is it this is just as hard on the fans losing to the biggest rivalry? And that was the big uproar.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
That got the meatheads rolling.
Oh, my gosh. And he was like, well, not as... I just know how hard we worked in the locker room. And that got everyone upset. But now everyone loves Justin. Everyone loves Justin Fields. So, you know, and I don't know. I have no idea if Aaron Rodgers is still with Blue of Earth, but...
Either way, great get by Jake Cantu. Great
get. Yeah.
I mean, what's that? Two times now he's got... Or did Charlie get the first time? Did he establish that connection?
I think Charlie got her the first time. And then... You know, Jake, I mean, listen, she's open to helping people.
Yeah.
She's there for us.
That's a great gift by Jake.
She's not hard to bribe, let's be honest.
Is she a gin drinker by any chance or wine? Oh, my God. Hey, I know. I want to go out to Nathan in Crestwood. We were talking about doing dry needling and acupuncture that athletes do for recovery. And Nathan wanted to talk about the acupuncture as well. Hi, Nathan. Welcome to Peggy and Dion with Tyler Aki on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going? You know what? Talking about Aaron Rodgers, like, I'll chip in $5 for his next ayahuasca trip right before the game, you know? Like, let's encourage him. Let's not make fun of him. Yeah. Yeah, it made us stand a chance. Jeez.
Right? I know. Exactly.
All right. But yeah, I just got to say, I heard you guys talking about acupuncture, and my wife's an acupuncturist, so, and I met her like 5 years ago when we first started going out. Like, I'd done acupuncture a few times before, and it was good. When she did the cups on me for the first time, that was really cool because, you know, they do it on your back typically. And, you know, it was a fire cup. So it's kind of warm and she's going over my back. And I grew up around smokers my whole life. I never smoked, but you could see an outline of my lungs in black, just all the particulate coming through the skin. And it just draws it up. And it was
seriously,
it looked like wings on my back, black. And each time afterwards, you know, there's less and less. It wasn't as bad. So that's kind of thing with the cups on the muscle areas where the stagnation of whatever.
Does it pull out like the toxins? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, yeah. Any like I forget what the acid is in the muscles that kind of makes it hurt. So that'll like draw that up, so the muscles will feel better. You know, whatever the situation is, but the needling's nice. There's another thing you should check out too. It's called scraping, right? So they basically take like a scraper, not with like a sharp edge, but something with kind of like a rounded edge, and they'll just keep going over like a spot on your body.
Oh.
And kind of the same concept of the cups. It's going to draw up whatever toxins or whatever is going on there, like muscle stagnation, and it's going to basically make a bruise, but it's drawn that to the surface.
Wow.
I'll pass on that one.
Yeah, that sounds like that is definitely painful.
Yeah, it's not fun, especially when it gets to the head.
Oh, whoa. That is crazy.
So it's a full body scrape?
Nah, just kind of like on the points of interest there. You know, like you got a full back.
Well, I'm telling you, I did the dry needling in my elbow, and I nearly hit the roof. Or the floor. That was not good pain at all. That was tough. But I do understand when everyone says you need to keep doing it to actually feel the effects.
And that's the other aspect of this too, is like we're so used to like surgery and the quick fix, the medications, like, you know, these things happen over years, you know, like the back pains or the knee problems, like, you know, if you're going to do it through this route, it's going to take a little time.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is nothing, right?
Right.
That's going to be the worst thing. So you spend a little money, like, it didn't work for you. But it's better than having, you know, 1,000 side effects and surgeries and recovery and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a trade-off.
Nice. Good job. Yeah. Nathan, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for checking in with us. I don't know. I might try that cupping. I might try it.
My cousin does it, and she swears by it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I'll try that. It sounds less painful than the needling, but
the scraping. Like,
oh, the scraping sounds crazy.
That doesn't sound like a medical practice. That sounds like torture.
No, exactly. I wanted to mention really quickly, we were talking earlier with the World Cup, and USA lost, by the way, to the Netherlands. What was the final? 3-1?
3-1.
Mm-hmm. 3-1. So they are out, and I did want to at least mention, because a couple of weeks back, we talked about the Red Stars and what a mess it was because of their old coach, Rory Dames, and Arnhem Wisler, the owner, and whether, you know, the report that came out by Sally Yates that really had uncovered, along with the Athletics and the Washington Post stories, with all the problems that was going on with women's soccer. And the number of issues going on with the Chicago Red Stars that went beyond just the coach being abusive. But I was reading these reports, and Arnhem Wisler constantly told the players that all this was the first time they had ever heard of it. When the players said, that's not true, mm-hmm. We went to you and told you our complaints. Now I'm reading about Arnhem Wisler has now sought out a third party to sell the team to, and which is good news for the Red Stars. But in reading these stories, the way he ran this team, it was like his hobby.
Right.
And mm-hmm. It was weird. You know, he had the players staying in buildings that he owned, apartments mm-hmm. he owned, so which is a total conflict of interest.
Right.
So now,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're you're the landlord.
Owner and landlord.
And
yeah.
the owner. Mm-hmm. He only provided meals at certain times, not all the time.
Mm-hmm. And when he did, it wasn't like proper sports nutrition. It was, let's go to Potbelly and Chipotle, which, like, for you and I...
Right.
We take Potbelly and Chipotle any day, but for world-class athletes, you need something better than that.
Yeah. Some of the other details that have started to come out about how players felt uncomfortable because he truly treated them like his toys.
Right.
And it was not a very professional run team at that time, and that he kept saying that they were changing. You know, he would brag about the fact, we don't even have an HR person.
Right.
You know, well, that's not something to brag about.
Right.
Especially considering all the problems that mm-hmm. The team had. So when word came out that he was actually engaging a third party to sell the team, I thought it was great, but I'm also worried because it's like a sink or swim with women's professional sports. And if someone doesn't step forward and take over the team, buy the team, and run it in a professional way, I worry about the future of professional women's soccer in Chicago.
And so there were some minority owners that joined, what was this, 2021, I believe?
Right.
And it seemed like there was genuity between how they tried to run the team and made sure, like, things were run properly. And,
like, Sarah Spain is one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kelly Coyne Schofield, too, is another one. Israel Adonijé, former Bear, also another one. There was, like, genuine interest in making sure this thing was right. Now we need to see more of that come into the sphere, because, like, who knows what's going to happen. When these sales happen, sometimes, like, right away you see a bunch of changes at the start, but then it's like, all right, we did the PR stuff to make sure things were much better at the start, and then after that we kind of tail off and our interest wanes somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
I worry though, because the stability of professional women's sports, sometimes that's all it takes for the, you know,
and
the cards to fall.
The NWSL too, like, they're getting bigger TV contracts. You can find them on, like, CBS Sportsnet. You can also, I mean, just the interest too with the U.S. women's national team. And it's not like what we see with the men's team where, all right, those players will go for the most part play in Europe. Like, that's what the big talking point this time around with the World Cup was. A lot of those American players now play in Europe. No, those players play in America.
Right.
A lot of them, and even a few play for the Red Stars as well. Mallory Pugh was one of them.
At one point, there were five women that played for the national team on the Red Stars.
Yeah, Julie Ertz, another
yes.
one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
there's a bunch of you see those players within the confines of the NWSL, and so the sport grows that way because there is genuine interest in what the U.S. women's national team does, because they are the world power,
unlike
what we see with the men's team.
Yep, exactly. So I hope that everything goes well with the Chicago Red Stars and finding a new owner. I'm glad that that's happening, and I'm hopeful as well. When we come back, what is the worst lie you ever told, and why it might be okay? 312-332-3776. It's Peggy and Dion with Tyler Aki on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago.
Okay, we're all listening.
This is ESPN 1000.
Coming up after Peggy and Dion at 1 o'clock, it's The Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. That is a really good show, by the way.
It is.
It is an excellent show, an excellent edition of Barstool Chief on that show. 2 o'clock, then, it's White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. A lot of hot stove baseball talk with the White Sox is going on social media today. A lot of talk about Lucas Giolito, Carlos Rodon, you know, all that stuff. So, and then at 3 o'clock, the SEC title game, LSU and Georgia. I have to mention that my husband's TCU Frogs, he's a Horned Frog, are now trailing number 10, Kansas State, 14-7. He is probably screaming at the TV right now.
And TCU just fumbled a long play, too, that put them into plus territory there. So it could be a playoff spot up for grabs.
So when my husband tells a story, I always call it Jason's Fables.
Okay.
Because he embellishes every story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was thinking last week, when I left the show last weekend, I drove down State Street, and then I take it to Ida B. Wells to get on the Eisenhower. And there was a homeless guy with a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to start keeping a bag in my car with, like, all of our, I cleaned out our hats and mittens and scarves and stuff like that. We didn't have enough winter coats to do. And if I saw someone that needed one, I was going to, you know, just give it to them. But the weather's been so nice, they haven't needed it.
Right.
And so, but I find myself really looking now for homeless people or people in need that have the signs, you know, downtown, especially around the highways. You're never going to believe what this sign was that this homeless guy.
Let's hear it.
Need money for hooker.
At least he's honest.
And I am not lying. That is exactly what it said. I did a double take. I could not stop laughing. I'm trying to get my phone out because I was stopped at a light.
Uh-huh.
And I am trying to get a picture, but he's kind of walking behind me. I so badly wanted to just get a picture. Can you believe that?
I wonder if he gets more money for the honesty.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So my husband, like, if I would tell that story to him, he would then take the story and tell his friends. Like, he's done this where he takes my stories.
Oh.
And with me right there, tells the story. Like, he's like, oh, I was driving. I see this guy, this homeless guy. He's got a sign that says, you know, need money for hooker. And I'm looking at him like, that's my story. Like, that wasn't you. That didn't
Did
happen
you call
to
him
you.
Out?
I do it. I call him out all the time.
Okay.
I'm like, this
Good.
Is Jason's fables.
Uh-huh.
These are Jason's fables. He does it, I'm not kidding you, all the time. So if you know somebody that embellishes a lot or lies,
mm-hmm.
they could actually have a mental health disorder called pseudologia fantastica. It was some German psychologists or psychiatrists, I'm not sure which, sorry, are trying to get compulsive lying labeled now as a disease that can be diagnosed as a disease. So think about these compulsive liars, right? Mm-hmm. Washington Post, was it? No, this was the New York Times. Okay. Had the story about this guy who resigned from his job in Salt Lake City after they found out that he embellished his resume. Now that stuff happens all mm-hmm. the time,
right.
especially with coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, wait a minute. He didn't play at this college or whatever. But listen to some of the lies that this guy told.
All right.
So he told friends he ascended Mount Everest from Tibet. He actually sent a picture on social media that had him in Tibet. But he actually had airbrushed himself in.
Okay. Like Everything's so easy with Photoshop and stuff now.
He went like to an extreme. And told his wife also that he decided to go climb Mount Everest. And she's like, well, he doesn't even have any experience. This can't be possible. He told journalists that he was born in Italy. He was actually born in New Jersey. He told school friends that his birthday was in September. It was actually in May. He told his wife he was having an affair with Kourtney Kardashian, which wasn't true.
How do you win there?
Right? Yeah, so it cost him his job, his friends, almost his marriage. The wife stayed with him because when he was losing his job and he sued his company saying that he has a disorder, they were able to say he is a pathological liar.
Wow.
And that should be treated as a mental health disease. So I was thinking, what? Really?
I guess it makes sense, like, if it's a personality trait that you can't really control, like...
Right. I mean, do you know anyone that is a compulsive liar, that lies all the time? It's typically people who talk about themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, the experiences. No, I don't really know anyone that, like... You may get, like, an embellished story here or there.
Right.
But not, like... On the daily,
right.
You're not getting something.
So I just thought of this too. I told you, I don't know what the biggest lie is that I ever told, but I think for years I used to say that I was an all-state basketball player in high school. Why are you laughing at that? Because I'm short?
No, because you said you're lying about it.
Well, but I was all-state, but I think I was second-team all-state.
And that still counts, yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know if people are like, oh, you weren't first-team.
No,
that's
yeah.
not all-state.
That's like saying, like, you're in college, like, you're an all-American. You're the second team. Like, you're still an all-American. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
So that bothered me for years.
Okay, no, you're not lying about that.
The fact that I thought that I was, like, am I lying about that back in the 80s, that I was an all-state basketball player? I'm like, no, I know. Like, I know that I was.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
What's the worst lie that you ever told?
Worst lie ever told. So, in college, we got a group of us got busted for cheating on an online class. And we had to work our way out of this one. We had to dig ourselves out. So, we strapped in, went into the war room. How are we going to get out of this? And so, two of them, cowards, they dropped the class. They're out. All right. So the accusations like lessened for them. So the heat's on me and one other girl.
Oh my gosh.
And we had to explain like, all right, yeah, like we work together on homework and stuff, but the tests, we independent. Quizzes, we're independent of each other. Not true. But so the teacher said, all right, you're going to have to take your, because it was an online class. This was like an online class before e-learning was really a thing.
Right, exactly.
Too, right? Because
yeah.
This was pre-pandemic. So,
which, by the way, during e-learning, everybody cheated.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. There was like software set up to make sure that people wouldn't cheat. And it's like it would detect your eyes. It was insane behavior.
Yes.
Anyway, so we had to, the teacher said, you have to take your tests on Skype. Like, you have to be on Skype so I can watch you take it. I was like, all right, whatever. So me and this other girl, like, we knew we had to take them online. Little did we know. So I get an email from him right before. He's like, hey, something's acting up with my Skype. I need you to do this on Google, like, whatever the Google version of Skype. I think it's like Google Hangout or whatever. So little did I know that at the same time, my friend was taking it on Skype. So the reason he couldn't Skype me was because he was Skyping this other girl who was taking the test or quiz, whatever it was, at the same time as me. I swear, we finished our quiz or test, whatever it was, like within 2 minutes of each other. And we didn't know that we were taking it at the same time. We finished within 2 minutes of each other and got all of our answers the same, too. So we proved our lie.
Oh, and my
all
God.
The allegations dropped.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too? You know how we got popped? We got popped because we all got like a 25. We were in the range of like 25 and 35% on a test.
Yeah.
Like, you're really going to call those kids out that are failing the class for cheating? How about just a, listen, I know what's going on. Just cut it out.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be an ass about it. But.
Well, and so just think about the people in your life that are compulsive liars. Like, I'm not calling my husband a compulsive liar. He is definitely an embellisher. Every story, it's like, here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go. But I would love to hear some of the biggest lies that people have ever told. 312-332-3776. When we come back, is it possible that my name came up in one of the holiday parody songs?
It is.
Uh-oh.
It did.
Oh, no. All right. We'll listen to that when we come back.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Peggy and Dion.
ESPN 1000.
All right, Peg. So you've been going, you're bouncing around, going to all these different holiday parties, right?
Yes,
you got
another one tonight.
Yep. You got the elbows good to go drink to mouth. You're good with that?
I can always drink left-handed.
That's true. That's true. You can play left-handed when you need to, right?
That's right.
So... the Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Party, which is going to be taking place on December 16th at Q Bar in Darien. We've got the Waddle and Sylvie Holiday Parody Song Contest going on right now. And you heard through the grapevine that your name was dropped in one of these songs.
That makes me so nervous.
Really?
Yes, because they're parodies. They're making fun of people.
Right.
Oh,
but,
no.
Okay. The song is not about you.
Oh, okay, good.
But you are featured in the song. So... Doug Banks, Danny White, who I believe have won the contest before, and do a great job with the production value behind all of it. They made a song that has your name in it. And it is, Jake, you've got the name of the song. I don't remember the exact name of the song. What is the name of this one?
Borum and Sylvie Sleigh Ride.
That's right. Okay, so this is... Larry Borum and Sylvie's Sleigh Ride by Danny White and Doug Banks.
Hey, Larry, you good, bro?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I just gotta take a s***, man.
Well, you want to call time out or what?
Nah, I think it's just a gas bubble popping up.
Oh, no.
You just no feel that stomach rumbling, rum-tum bubbling, too. I shouldn't have finished that third bowl of Campbell's Chunky Bee Stew. Now my colitis is flaring. Can we please just run off the clock before this
this rectal confetti explodes out the back of my jock.
It's coming out, creeping out, seeping out, oh no, I'm feeling the flow. And my uniform pants are the color of blow. And now Fox and Amazon and TMZ will see my fecal wedgie. I'll just blame it on dirt, that'll work, and throw away these dirty undies.
My cheeks are chafed and patchy, gonna need some Desitin cream. Next time I'll eat my gutter, check my crack with a bunch of TP. Let's take that road to State Street and pick up a mark or two. I heard St. Schlereth and Sylvie are both thumping in their pants too. There's an evil gurgle brewing in the studio, and it's slowly leaking out of Sylvie's booty hole.
He should call up your Kozak's roommate to power wash his can. There's a reason they call him Skidmore Silverman.
He's got a fully melted baby Ruth between his cheeks, and a Jackson Pollock painting in his boxer briefs.
I think this dude's about to make Peggy Kaczynski spew.
What's the point of manscaping and swallowing blue chew? When you walk in the room and your side girl smells at homemade, just see Mark follow the lead of his lovely wife Ellie. But instead of crapping the sheets, he soils extra small jockeys. Crapping the sheets, he soils extra small jockeys.
Crapping the sheets, he soils extra small jockeys.
Excuse me. Yeah, by the way, they're not extra small. They're Calvin Klein schmediums.
So that's...
That was not easy. Not easy to put a... my name in a song.
Yeah, and they found a way.
Like, I'm not sure how they did that. That was like to get my whole name in there is like pretty, that was pretty awesome.
Well, you had the mensch move too of buying Waddle some socks,
yep,
which has been a theme for some of the parody songs, and yep, then getting Sylvie some underwear as
some
well.
Some underwear, yes, and toilet paper.
And toilet paper, that's
and
right.
And toilet yep paper, mm-hmm, and I sent it, I think I was even out of town.
Yeah, I think it was while you were in Texas,
yes,
wasn't it? Yeah,
it was while mm-hmm I was in Texas, and so it just appeared in their office one day, and they were like, what is this?
Yeah.
I just thought it was, but that was so well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Danny White and Doug Banks. That was very funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. I love that is one of my favorite things that the station does is the holiday
the parody song contest.
Oh my
yep
gosh! Mm-hmm. It is so. When does that all come?
So you still have a week to get them in. They close on Friday, December 9th. So get those submissions in. ESPNParody.com. ESPNParody.com to
I
submit.
Love it. I love mm-hmm it. And then is there a place we can actually listen to them? They should. You know what Dion said? They should put them out as albums.
As albums?
Yes. It would be. And
we
then,
could
and
do
then
a
for
podcast.
Charity.
Yes, we could definitely do
a podcast.
Yes,
that's a
podcast
great
them together.
Idea.
Yeah, that's. I will bring that up to them.
That's a really good idea. I'd mm-hmm like that idea. Well, this was really fun.
Always
thank you for
fun,
coming in.
Of course.
I appreciate it because you work all the time, so it's much appreciated. I do miss my Dion, though.
Yes,
and
we all do.
I'm glad that she is having fun with her family and watching Noah today on her special day. And word was out that her son, who joined us last week, did get a phone.
Ooh.
He was signing a contract on his birthday.
I did see the picture of that, actually. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very proud of him as well. So good
all
job,
right,
Cash. That's awesome. I will not be here next week. I am heading to Florida with the Bears bye week. So I am going to take a little bit of a vacation and then I will be back. But tomorrow, please don't forget to tune in for the pregame show with Dion and Jeff Miller. And that is at 10 o'clock.
Yes.
And then immediately following the Bears and the Packers, please tune in to me and Yurko for the post-game show here on ESPN Radio as well. We are here all week long breaking it down. Let's hope that Justin Fields survives. Don't care so much if Aaron Rodgers does or doesn't.
Blue can help him.
But Blue Earth does. Yes, she does. Thank you, Tyler Aki. Thank
of
you,
course.
Jay Cantu, as always. Thank you guys all for joining us. Stick around. Up next, we have the Hockey Show with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief. This is Peggy and Dion on ESPN 1000.